You're listening to the Known Legacy Podcast, brought to you by Known Legacy Ministries. For more information, go to knownlegacy.org. Now here's your hosts, Bill and Travis.
It has been a week. I will tell you that it's been a week.
Tell me about it. Tell me about it.
So my son came home last weekend, not this one, the weekend before.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey, Dad. So we had just put like thousands of dollars into his vehicle.
How much?
Thousands of dollars.
And into somebody else's vehicle.
Into somebody else. I know. Yes. Kyle's favorite thing that he tells me is, when you buy a used car, you're buying someone else's problem.
Oh, it so is true. There. I Words
see
of
it.
Wisdom.
I see it, Kyle. But anyways, so long story short, he gets home. We had to put all this money in. He's like, it's still leaking. And then I bring it in to have somebody look at it. I'm like, oh, it's still something else, or this is going to go. Yeah. And I'm like, so long story, over the next year, it would be like $5,000, $6,000 more. I'm like,
no,
we're done. We're done. So I got him a car. We had to get him a car, which, again, you're like, awesome. We can spend more money.
Way.
Let's just keep doing it. But it made me think this question.
Oh.
So I had this question in my mind, that if there was one car that you could drive the rest of your lives without, like, worrying about, like, gas money and stuff. Because, like, okay, one thing he was excited about was his old car got 14 miles to the gallon on the highway, and this new one gets 41.
Dude, at what point as a dad are you just, like, crying and tearing up? Because you're like, you're growing up. Your practicality is being pushed into your heart one gas fill at a time.
It is so true.
You're going to make it work.
He went from, like, $80 to fill up to, like, 22, and I'm like, I'm so proud. Anyways.
I'm proud of you.
It made me wonder the question, if you could have one car for the rest of your life without that, like, the fear of gas.
Yeah.
What would you drive?
Man, okay, so it's between two cars, but they're very much in the same kind of vein and the same kind of existence. One would be the Marty McFly car from Back to the Future, where he comes
like the
back.
The black truck?
Oh, the black truck with the KC lights. The Toyota.
Oh, yeah.
The Toyota. Before it was a Tacoma, just the Toyota truck. With, like, the beefy wheels and the the hands down.
I think every guy in the 80s
hands
wanted
down.
That. I didn't want, like, you know, whatever, like a Lamborghini. Yeah. I wanted Marty's black truck.
Okay, so the other one, and I'm not sure if it was a Bronco with the back pulled off.
Okay.
But it was from the old school movie, and I hope you haven't seen it, but if you have, that's cool. Romancing the Stone.
I watched it when I was younger.
Okay, and they were driving through the jungles, and they're in this, like, old square body Chevy. Right.
First thing, we have just dated ourselves with Marty McFly's car and Romancing the Stone. Michael Douglas, where are you? What happened?
So to the one listener still tuning in to Known Legacy, thank you so much for being a part
Travis
of the community.
Travis's third car is a walker.
You can find us
with the tennis balls.
And the horn.
Okay, well, I'm sorry. So
anyways,
that car.
Yeah, that'd be mine. How about you, Kyle? What car would you get?
I would probably get a tricked out Jeep JLU.
That's what you have.
I know.
Dreams do come true, children. Merry Christmas.
That's like saying I would have a used 4Runner. Like, thank you, Kyle.
I love that car. I just love it.
It's nice.
All right. How about you, Bill?
I think it's the 62 Corvette.
Oh, you even have the year. Okay.
Yeah, 60, I think it is. Like with the indent on the side.
The white.
Oh,
the red.
Yeah. My son always asked me, said, is that the one? I'm like, I want it,
yeah.
But I'm not like, oh, I'm striving for it. But if that, it was like, if gas mileage wasn't an issue or.
Can I tell you something? I feel like if you had that, you'd have the top down and you would perpetually have one song on. And it's a little red Corvette. And you would just drive around town with your red hair just blowing in the wind. Like, little red Corvette. And you'd just be like. Like, they would look at the streaming numbers, like, why are our streaming numbers and revenue increasing because of one guy?
I get a call from the writer. Bill, I just want to say thanks.
My grandkids can now go to college because of you.
Because of you.
You're fantastic. Thank you.
Anyways, well, and so that brings us to
guests that we have, I do want to say thank you guys so much for listening in to Known Legacy. We appreciate it. Man, if you can throw a like, a follow, a five-star review, whatever, that's fine. If it's 4-star, that's cool. 3 stars, why don't you email us at info@knownlegacy.org.
We can walk through that problem together.
we can have that journey and that conversation and see what we can do better to get you to a 4 or 5 star. That'd be fantastic.
Exactly. We're here for you.
Facebook, Instagram, I think we are. YouTube, the videos, you can watch them if you want to see what we look like in real life. And otherwise, yeah, take it away, Bill.
Just so you know, this isn't AI.
No.
Oh, man. Well, and we are excited to have a special guest on today. He's a YouTube sensation and a recording artist, Cade Thompson, who's on tour right now. Thank you so much for being here, Cade.
Thanks for having me.
We are so pumped to have you on today, man. And so I guess that question gets bounced to you. If you could have one car for the rest of your life, what would you drive?
You know what? I would have to go with a Ford Bronco. I would have to go with the old school ones, though. The new ones, I've heard, have had a lot of problems. So
yes.
Old school Ford Bronco just tricked out would be amazing.
Like the OJ Bronco?
Yeah.
Well, not that creepy, but yes, you know.
The OG. The OG.
The OG. Bronco. Yeah, that's what I meant to say.
OG.
like the baby blue and white?
Oh.
Yeah.
You know, there you go.
You know.
Nice. Well, cool, man. Well, yeah, so that's actually not a bad option either.
Classic American boys here on the old podcast.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I didn't say what 80s vehicle would you want, but we managed to go there, so it's
not
okay.
The 80s Mustang.
Not the 80s
not
Mustang.
Not the 80s Mustang.
No.
Oh, that thing was...
I just want a hatchback. Yeah. I want a hatchback that goes fast. Like, that's kind of what it
the
feels.
Omni? The Chrysler Omni?
They didn't even go fast. They put 4 cylinders in
them. Okay. You know, I want to look... We're so off. I'm sorry. Cade, we are so glad. Like I said, we're so glad to have you on here, man. And we'd love to hear your story. Share a little bit about yourself. Share with our listeners and our viewers a little bit of your story.
Absolutely. Well, first of all, thanks for having me, guys. It sounds like an absolute party on that side of the screen, so I wish I was there in person. But I was born in Joplin, Missouri, and I moved down to, up to South Dakota when I was 9 years old. Rewind a little bit. I started singing when I was 5 years old on my front porch, singing karaoke in Joplin, Missouri. Any songs from Life is a Highway to How Great is Our God, and I love singing ever since I was a young kid. And my mom actually was in ministry growing up, so I was always at the church anyways. And when I was 9, 10 years old, I was at a summer camp at the age of 10. And that was the moment where I really saw, wait, following Jesus has to be a real decision I have to make myself. And it can't just be my parents' faith. And I gave my life to the Lord when I was 10 years old. Fast forward to middle school, I had a student teacher who would always hear me singing in the classroom. She just so happened to be a youth leader. And she's like, hey, how about you stop singing in the classroom and start singing at the church? And so I said, okay. And I was a little shy at first, but I took her up on it. And I started serving at the church, started just serving on the worship team. We had a house prayer at our church. And those were so pivotal years for me because I saw what it meant to serve the Lord through the power of music and eventually began writing songs out of scripture. Had no idea what I was doing. I thank the Lord that you're not going to hear any of those songs today.
Have we got a surprise
exactly.
for you?
Check out some.
We've been in touch with the family, and they've downloaded.
Yeah, wow, that would be embarrassing to all get out. So,
anyways,
I'm super thankful. And fast forward, I moved to Nashville, Tennessee, right outside of high school, signed a record deal, and been down there ever since. So,
nice, man. Now, I remember you were sharing your story. So, you really started ministry about 16. What was that like when you kind of were like, okay, I know that, like even like you just said, man, I came to know the Lord, really realized my calling. What has that done in your journey? What are the obstacles and the blessings that you've kind of faced in those kind of moments?
Well, yeah, you know, it's funny. I didn't even know really that you could do ministry full time or that you could do music as a career, really, until I began to get a little bit older. My whole story is just me trying to stay faithful from a very young age. And when I was 16 years old, I had the opportunity to go on my first tour ever, and it was a smaller tour, but that was a moment where I just stepped out in faith. And rewind a little bit, when I was 14, I sang a Christian song at my public school talent show, and that was the moment that I saw the power of the gospel and the power of music come together and transform people's lives and hearts. And that was the moment I knew I wanted to do this for as long as the Lord would allow me to do it. He just began to open up doors, and I vividly remember the first night of tour when I was 16, getting up on that stage and being like, what if I forget everything that I'm about to do? Like, I really did have like a moment. I was like, what am I doing right now?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
My whole story is just a story of obedience, a story of saying yes to the Lord, a story of following him, even though it might not make sense.
Man,
I've seen God and his faithfulness time and time again in my life.
That's awesome. Hey, while you obviously you've shown from a very young age dedication, discipline, and the ability to step out in faith, which is fantastic. But often there's one or two key players that have come alongside us, and it sounds like that teacher came alongside you at a very young age and just invited you to explore and go in a different direction maybe than what you had planned. Who is maybe someone else that's been influential in your life, and what did they do? Because I think that's one of the things we want to encourage men all the time. Is like there's – you could be the teacher for a guy at your business. You could be a teacher like that where you just – you ask them to step up to do something that they wouldn't normally do on their own, and it can open this world of impact that they had no idea was there. So for you, outside of that teacher, who was maybe someone else that a mentor, and how did they mentor you to get you to where you are today?
Great question. You know, as I look back on my life, there's been so many different people and different seasons of my life that have taught me many different things. And I think one of the other – key people in my life, his name was Matt Timms. He literally taught me, gave me music lessons in middle school and taught me the nitty gritty of, you know, national number system and all these things. And he really instilled in me kind of that business brain that is a lot of artists don't really think of that side of things as well. Some people are just super creative, and I have kind of both of those in my life. And another person was also named Matt Armstrong. He was the first producer that ever took a risk on me when I was 16, and he said, come to town, let's see what you got. And he, I remember him telling me very vividly, I had already written over 100 songs, and he's like, that's great, but keep writing. I was like, what do you mean, dude? I've already written over 100 songs. And through that process, I learned that songwriting is like a muscle. It's something just like, you're not just going to get big by sitting there in your chair doing nothing. You got to go to the gym, right? You got to go and put in the reps. And so there's been people that have taught me those things, and I couldn't have done it without those people.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. So in that journey, you know, again, like I get some backstory because me and Chad had a conversation. He has a lot of respect for you, our buddy Chad from Unspoken, who I know that you're on tour with right now. But he shared that your testimony was one of just being faithful along the way. And I meet more believers who are maybe, you know, 18, 19, who don't have like the testimony of sex, drugs, rock and roll. And it's to them, it's almost like this is boring. Can you speak into that for a minute? Because I think there's a lot of students that feel like they need that kind of testimony.
Right.
What would you say to them? Two parts. What would you say to them? And then what would you say to their parents who are helping inspire that kind of testimony in them? So could you share that?
Great question.
Thank you.
Yeah, you know, that was me for the longest time. I grew up in church. I thank God he saved me from so many of those things from a young age. And I really questioned him, like, Lord, do I even have a testimony? I've never shared this story before, but I sat across from a label, and the label told me that I don't even have a story. And that was that was a moment for me, because I really had to process, do I even have a story? And then I look back and I see God and his faithfulness in my life. The story of my life is that God saved me from those things, and I didn't have to walk down that road. It meant that my struggles were different, right? It meant that my struggles were on the path of obedience. It talks about in scripture, the narrow road. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see the kingdom of God, was literally the verse of the day today when I woke up this morning. Wow. And that's my whole life story, is that, man, choosing to say yes to Jesus comes with sacrifice, and obedience requires sacrifice. But on the other side of sacrifice and obedience is blessing. And I've seen that in my life time and time again. So to anyone has a similar story to me, my encouragement would be, you don't have to go through that road. You don't have to go through those things to know how good God is, because Amen. He's already desires to walk in relationship with you. And his goodness is in your life if you just take a step back and look at it and remember all that he's done. My second thing to the parents, to anyone, is that you can truly show your kids what it means to follow Jesus. Looking back on my life and my testimony, my parents raised me in the church. They weren't perfect by any means, but they showed me who Jesus was from a young age, not just by telling me about him, but they showed me who he was by the actions, by the way that they pursued after him. I would wake up every morning before I go to school, and my dad is there in our kitchen diving into the word and praying with a cup of coffee. Like, that's the man that I want to be, you know? And you can do it by the way that you show, by your actions.
Man, I love that. So you have a unique life experience in the sense that you're on the road a lot. I mean, that's how you get your word out. That's how you get your songs out. That's how you build your fan base and everything else. And I'd wager to bet that you have a very unique challenge of being on the road, whether it be unique temptations, ego, all of that kind of stuff. How do you stay grounded and navigate that unique challenge? Because I think there's guys that are salesmen that are on the road all the time, and there's other people who are traveling all the time. And just what are you? What do you engage in? How do you do that well?
Yeah, you know, a couple weeks ago, I had a moment. I've been playing so many shows this year. I'm playing over 120 shows, and I had a moment where I was like, "Man, I'm tired. I'm like, I don't really want to go on stage tonight." And I got very convicted, because the moment that I forget that it's all about loving God and loving people, I got to take a step back and ask, Lord, would you just soften my heart again? And I'll tell you what, he did that. And for me, the biggest thing I've found for me is getting in rhythms on the road of getting up, grabbing a cup of coffee just like I did this morning. And maybe even if I don't feel like it, I got to open up the Word of God. For me, that's the best way that I can connect with the Lord, is to open up his Word. Right now I'm doing like a Bible shred of 120 days reading through the whole Bible, and it's a lot, but just getting the Word in you. The Word says that it's living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword, and so I know that I don't go to the Word to get anything from God, but just to be with the Father. And
yes,
that's a huge posture.
That's brilliant.
Yeah.
And so for me, it's like, okay, if I notice if it's more than 3 days and I haven't opened up the Word, I got to examine my heart and be like, all right, something's off, you know, got to reorient. Because it's never a overnight drifting. It's a slow fade. It's a slow burn. And so every day is like a course correction of like, okay, yesterday I was here. How can I get back here?
So you mentioned the scripture shred. I love that language. Is there a program, like, where are you finding that? Is that just something you're doing? Or is there something that someone who's listening is like, dude, I need 120 days in the scriptures. Absolutely. Yeah. Where would they go to find that info?
Just the Bible app, YouVersion Bible app. You can go chronological Bible, 122 days, I think it is, and it'll be there. So,
dude,
and
you know what I love?
Going through it with a group of people right now.
That's awesome. Cool. And what I love about the Bible app, and some people don't know this, it actually can, like, I drive a ton. I drive 35,000 miles a year. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And it can actually just play audio for you. So you don't even have to read it. You can just listen. And, dude, I'm like, man, I went through the whole book of Revelation on a walk the other day. I'm like, this is fantastic.
Yeah, you get that kind of that big picture view on that, and you're picking it. Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
Man, even as you're talking, you talked about the word spiritual discipline came out with that. I'm going to go back to those kids who are like, I don't have a testimony. I don't know. I'm 15 years old, and I don't know, you know, I'm boring. What would you say to them about their spiritual discipline? Like, what would you encourage them if you're sitting in front of me going, this is what I think you should do right now at 15 that you wish you had done or that you did that was successful? Can you share that with them?
Yeah, I would say the biggest thing I learned from a young age is that the Lord has to be your first love, you know? And I think that when your priorities are aligned and those things, and then you can truly walk in the calling. I think there's three big areas. It's Word, it's worship, and prayer.
Yeah.
And all of us kind of have different levels where sometimes the Word is going to speak to us more, you know, or worship or prayer. But those are the three pivotal things that you have in order to grow in your relationship with the Lord. And I would encourage you to press into all three of those areas.
All right, so here's a question I get sometimes from older men, and that, like, I love to sing. I've always loved to sing. I am not a professional singer in any sense of the word. I'm not, but I will walk around the house and sing. I'll make up, like, I live like in a musical where I just sing whatever's happening around me. It's fantastic. But there's a whole host of men that don't sing, and we associate worship with singing. And so what would you say to a guy who's like, dude, I get that worship comment, but I don't sing. I can't carry a tune. It's not my jam to sing. What would you say to a guy who's struggling to incorporate that worship element into their life that maybe is not gifted to sing?
Well, yeah. I think you have to go back to what really is worship. You know, I think we think of worship and we automatically think about music, but what if our whole life could be worship? Worship is giving praise to God for what he's due, you know? And so it doesn't have to be exactly through music. You can be in nature and be worshiping the Lord just with your hands, like praising him, you know? It doesn't have to be necessarily singing. But there is something powerful, I think, I have such a heartbeat for the local church, because I think there's something powerful when you get together in a room and everyone is, you know, singing holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, or whatever the song might be, you know. There's something powerful that happens, and so I would encourage you, you got to be plugged into the local church. If you can't even sing a lick, at least people around you are pressing in, you know?
Yeah.
And,
Well, and I think you alluded to it, and I'm going to elevate that a little bit. It's just, man, act of worship is just being overwhelmingly thankful for all the good things that God's given you. And so, yeah. You know, like you said, walking around in nature and just being in this mindset of like, God, I want to thank you for the smallest and the biggest things in my life, because everything good comes from you. And that is absolutely an act of worship, you know?
Yeah, yeah, I think even simplifying it for guys like me, worship is a decision.
Mm.
And so it's just deciding to honor God in that. And you're right, we have taken and said that means singing.
Right.
But, I mean, there's times I don't worship in my car when someone cuts me off, and then there's times I do. So, but I think there's value in that idea of, okay, it's a decision to go, no, I'm going to choose to find my satisfaction in Christ right now, in this moment.
Yeah.
Instead of being blank or feeling righteous anger or feeling unrighteous anger, whatever. Like, I just, God, let me just decide to choose you right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
And in that moment, I think sometimes it comes out in worship. Like you're saying, like, some guys don't sing, other guys do.
Yeah.
But this idea of like, we've almost like brought it down to this point where worship means singing. And I'm like, that's not even it. And so, no, great, great point. I love that.
So, like, from the outside, I'm sure people will look at you and be like, man, he's got it all together. He's locked in. He's touring. He's living his dream. He's using his gifts to glory God. But all of us know that, man, we are always facing some sort of headwind or some sort of challenge. What are some of the headwinds that you personally, to whatever extent you want to, share? And how are you engaging in those headwinds in a way that honors God?
Such a good one. You know, I think the biggest thing I've learned this past year is that I have to be surrounded by men in my life that I can just share a life of no secrets with. One of my mentors, encouraged me. He said, when I first started touring, I started talking to him, and he's like, I want to encourage you to surround yourself with five people that you can trust, that you can live in the light, that you can share everything, that you can live a life of no secrets with. I was just reading in Ephesians this morning, and talks about living in the light. And if we want to be followers of Jesus Christ and live in the light, we have to expose the darkness into the light. And so that means I've got people in my life that I can share those things that I'm struggling with, you know, my purity or my mental health or whatever it might be, and say, look, I'm not alone in this together.
Right.
And that has been one of the biggest takeaways for me. I think anytime you're in ministry, there's a different target on your back. And I've seen that time and time again.
Yeah.
And I've seen that I have to be surrounded by people that are going to pull me closer to the Lord.
Such a good word. The language that I've heard used is, you need a 3 a.m. friend. And I think what you did is you put a cherry on top and said a 3 a.m. friend that you share, that you have no secrets from. Yeah. And that's, I think, the challenge, because that is, man, that is, you got to step out and be really vulnerable.
Yeah.
And trust. And yeah, that's huge. Absolutely huge.
I love this. I love this, man. Well, man, you know, you are a songwriter, and I did have a question about your songwriting process a little bit, if we can turn that corner. Like, man, what?
Yeah.
What? Because, I mean, you know, I've obviously listened to your songs, follow you on the YouTubes. That's on the Twitter machine somewhere. And but I mean, I guess the question is like, man, what inspires you when you're writing a song? Where does your inspiration come from? Kind of where do you get that kind of energy and all that other stuff from? Share a little bit about that.
Well, I sit in a cold, dark room for about 12 hours, and then I start sweating blood. And I'm just kidding.
That's a good process.
Yeah. No, I would say I get really inspired to write songs based on stories that have happened in my life or stories of people around me. For example, there's a kid this summer. I haven't written a song yet, but I want to. So I'm just sharing it right here.
That's all right.
There's a kid this summer. He had gone to church his whole life. He'd been doubting the Lord. He came to one of my shows at the summer camp. After the show was done, he prayed this prayer: Lord, if you're real, would you do a miracle in somebody's heart tonight? What I didn't tell you is that he had been colorblind his whole life. He'd been mad at God. He asked God, why? And he prayed that prayer, and the Lord healed his eyes, restored his sight. Next day, he got to see a sunrise in living color for the first time. And so,
no way.
A story that's like awesome. That. I hear a story like that. I'm like, I gotta go write a song. You know,
exactly. Yes. And, that is song worthy.
And I also share that story to encourage people in their faith, man. That God still heals. He still saves. He still delivers. And I think there's a lot of people in life that aren't seeing God or their life in living color. They're seeing it in black and white, and God wants to bring that. And so a story like that inspires me every day
to write
songs.
That sounds like a title.
Bro, you're dropping bombs right there. Black and white to living color.
It's like my songwriting brain. Please, nobody steal that idea. It's mine.
Okay. Copyright.
And he's like, writers. It's like Cade and what's the KL podcast?
Yeah. Word for a third? I don't know.
That's awesome, man. No, that's good.
That's what we say in Nashville.
Word for a third. That's funny. That's funny. So, dude, yeah, okay. So right now, out of the songs you've written, you know, kind of going through them, which ones do you love performing and which one would be like your like favorite song that you have right now?
Well, I always say this when people ask me this question. It's like, kind of like asking a parent their favorite child. It's like, well,
we all have them.
Favorite, but, you know, we all kind of have that.
We
one,
all do.
You know
there's.
We all have a favorite kid. We just don't let the other kids know. Yeah, we're just saying.
Oh, I love them all. They're awesome. No, I would say my favorite song is, it shifts all the time based on what phase of life I'm in. I think right now, currently, there's a song called See You Soon that I wrote years ago. It was the last song I wrote from my second album. And I needed one more song. I played the song for the label, sat across from a guy named Don Cook who signed me to the label deal. He said, Cade, that song's gonna touch a lot of people's lives. And a couple years later, he ended up passing away from cancer.
Oof.
Wow. This year in January. And the song is all about the hope of heaven, that it's not goodbye, it's I'll see you soon as followers of Jesus Christ. And I think, man, any time I sing that song, it really hits home for me now in a different way. I would say my least favorite song to play, well, it's a song called Dear Future Wife. I love the song and I'm very excited about it, but I didn't quite think through this, guys, that when you release a song like that and you play it live, everyone and their mother tries to set you up with their daughter. So I don't play that song live anymore, guys. I don't play it anymore live, so.
Okay, so
that's a fun one.
So you stepped into it. So I would be fascinated because I've been married 26 years. I've been out of the dating game forever, but I am realizing through any number of TikToks and or reels that get thrown into my algorithm that it seems like the dating world is really difficult in some ways for this generation, the generation that you're a part of. So I would love to know from your perspective, man, if there's a guy in his mid-20s. Maybe frustrated by the dating pool that's out there or his approach to dating. What would you say to that younger generation, male and or female? Just like, man, this is how you can engage in this process and still keep your faith and still keep your conscience as you go forward in this. What would you recommend them on that?
Man, I love it. I think the first thing would be you got to boldly pursue after the Lord first, and he has to be your first love. And, I was just at a young adults group the other night, and pastor was talking about this. You know, when you boldly pursue after the Lord first and your passions and all that stuff, the right woman is going to come along. And so I'd say that has to be the first love. The second thing was, I think a lot of guys nowadays just don't know what it means to pursue. They're just like playing games and, just, you know, this or that, or, you know, the texting games. Like, if you like someone, just tell her that you like her and pursue her, you know? And don't play the games. There's too many people playing games nowadays.
Simple.
I love it. I remember I had a friend like 15, or probably 10 years ago. He was dating. He's like, so he's sitting there one night and he's like, should I Facebook Messenger? Should I DM her? Should I text her? I'm like, I don't even know what you said, man. I go, you could write her a letter, maybe. I was like, maybe you could go see her. Oh, no. I couldn't go and see her face to face.
No,
like,
no.
What is wrong? I'm sorry. Yeah. So, yeah, you're standing in the gap as a very odd person right now who's like, just be the man and do it. And so, no, that's cool. Well, Cade, I love that you're standing in the gap. I love that you're this guy. And, man, I think you're speaking to so many hearts of people who have journeyed in church that are like, I don't have a story. I'm like, yes, you do. I think that's the part that's frustrating is you have a story of, I'm going to almost say, you have a story of non-stupidity. Right.
And praise God. Praise God.
I'll be honest, because I had a stupid story. Mm-hmm. I can say that. And so, because I thought that there was a part of me that felt like I needed it.
Right.
Like I needed this story of, and then I came out of the abyss, you know, and you're like, and somebody like, I didn't even fall in, you idiot. And I'm like, oh, okay. But for some reason, the enemy wants us to think that. And so I love the encouragement to the younger viewers and the parents.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
But before we end, we have.
Dude, love this conversation, by the way.
Oh,
thank you so much.
This has been so good. Kate, we're going to have you back on again.
So good.
Is there anything that, just, you know, as we're kind of wrapping up, anything you want to share? What do you want to share? Final thoughts.
Well, first of all, thanks for having me. This really filled me up this morning. I think, you know, we're living in some crazy times. We're living in some dark times, if we can be honest. But I know that it's in the darkness where the light, it can shine the brightest. And we got to be bold. We got to stand up for truth. We have to not compromise, you know. We have to fully pursue after the Lord more than ever before. And to anyone who's watching this today and you're similar to me and you're raising the church, but maybe you're battling fear or you're wondering if people are going to judge you for standing up for Jesus, the best thing you can do is to say yes to Jesus and the call upon your life. So go after it. Proverbs 16:9 says this, that the heart of a man can plan his ways, but the Lord establishes his steps.
Yes.
And so you can plan, do all these things. The Lord is going to establish your steps. So don't stop pursuing after him. As you pursue him, he's going to make your steps clear. And he's not a God that if you make one wrong decision, he's like, that's it. It's all over. He's too kind for that. You don't have to put so much pressure on yourself. He's going to reorient your steps as you pursue after him. And so keep your eyes fixed on him. And it's an honor to chat with y'all this morning. This filled me up.
This has been good.
Dude, this has been fantastic.
Before we get into the Fast Five, you can go to – so your website is just KateThompson.com. Is that correct?
Kate Thompson Music.
Yep. Kate Thompson Music. I forgot that part.
KateThompson.com.
Fantastic. So check him out. Also go on Spotify and YouTube.
Right.
And you can follow him on there. So make sure you guys do that as well. But before we finish.
And obviously, if you're looking at pursuing a woman, share the song, My Perfect Wife, Moving Forward with More Women, whatever
it is. Yeah. Moms out there with single women, check out Cade's song and give him a call. His number is.
Oh, geez. No, don't need that. But stream the song, okay?
Exactly. Right. Just stream the song.
Stream the song.
Oh, man. Well, Cade, before we finish, we have a couple of we have our Fast Five segment for you.
So stupid! I love it.
It's my favorite thing. I'm going to say it one more time. We have our Fast Five segment for you. There it is. Awesome. Cade, so question number one: who do you most admire?
Oh, kind of a funny question. You know, I admire my parents. I love my parents a ton. I'm thankful for them and their inspiration in my life. And shout out to my parents.
Man, what a blessing that you can say that. That's fantastic.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome. All right, question number two. Where would you like to go on vacation?
Definitely want to go to Greece. I think it'd be amazing.
Ooh, like the white stone buildings and all that kind of stuff?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
That would be amazing.
That would be
the
so good.
The history that's there. Yes. The biblical story that's there. Love
yes,
it.
Yes, very love good. Very good. Nice. Cool. So what are you currently reading? So this is a two-part thing. If you're a book reader, are you currently reading a book? And number two, what are you reading in the Bible?
Great. Well, I've always wanted to be a book reader, so I have so many books, but I never get that far.
Fair.
Just being honest, I'm more of an Audible guy, Kindle Audible or whatever it is.
Yeah, that's fair. Yep. That's still reading. That is still reading.
That's still reading. I'm reading a book called How to Worship a King by Zach Neese, and it's been really great. It's talking all about worship and how in a lot of ways, we kind of have our priorities wrong sometimes in corporate worship. Second thing is Wild at Heart by John Eldridge. I haven't gotten that far in, but I'm excited about it. And the cover looks great. So
yeah, it's a good book, man.
I can read it.
It's a good great book. Good book. Good book. So
what I'm reading in the Word right now is, well, I'm doing the shred. So I'm currently in Ezekiel. And I'm very excited to get to the New Testament.
He's super excited he made it through Numbers. You know what, ladies and gentlemen, he has made it through the book of Numbers. Good job.
Praise God.
You did it. Everyone should get
it. Done, okay?
Yes, everybody should get an award for getting through Numbers. So that's awesome. For making it through Numbers, you did this. Okay, cool. Okay, question number four. What is a goal you have for this year?
Well, I want to get fit again, you know? I started slacking when I got on the road, so I'm going to – something I've started doing this tour is doing 50 push-ups every day on the road. So.
Nice, yes. Man, nice.
Basically, we're going to be huge by the next time you see me.
Yes, yes, yes. I love it. I love it. I love it. Ladies, he also has a song, Andy's Getting Fit. So I just I don't know what to do here.
Future wife?
A double fit. Double threat
guy. When I said the Book of Numbers, I was not meaning to give out mine, okay? Let's
put it that way. I love it. Okay. Brilliant. Last question. What is the most impactful piece of advice you've ever been given?
Somebody else's success is not going to rob God's potential for you.
Ooh.
I think it's really important. You know, when I first moved to Nashville, I'm like, oh, there's all these people. There's people way more talented than me. It's like, if you just realize that God has you in a specific lane and he's got unique gifts, that's why it's called the body of Christ. It's like, okay, every part matters. So God's got it.
That's huge.
Good stuff. Huge. I love it. I love it.
I have thoroughly enjoyed this podcast, man.
It has been
way to tee it up awesome. And knock it out. Well done, sir. Well done.
Cade, we are so grateful to have you on the podcast this week. Guys, thank you so much for listening. You can check us out at knownlegacy.org.
Yep.
You can email us info@knownlegacy. Check out all the social medias.
And another book that I'd recommend is Bill's book, and it's also an audio form, so you could do that too.
You could,
you know, more than you.
Bill! Yeah. So, more than you. I love that.
I'm still shocked that I was able to jump that chasm. If you see it in the
I know, that is you. If you see the picture, I actually just Photoshop. Took I just took Travis on that jump, man, and he was
minus about 200 pounds.
Yeah, you can get that at morethanyoubook.com, and man, we are so grateful, Cade, to have you on today. Thank you guys for listening to us. We hope you guys are blessed by this. And if you know someone who could benefit from this, share it with them,
yes.
Because there's a lot to offer here for those who have journeyed through the church and are like, I don't have a testimony.
Yeah,
you know, you really do.
Everyone
really
does.
So
God bless you guys.
God bless you guys. Have yourselves a great week.
Y'all.
We'll see you soon.
Thanks for listening to the Known Legacy Podcast. We'd love to hear from you. So email us your questions or comments to info@knownlegacy.org.